This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO at 102.7 FM.
Before 2002, Vancouver had no casinos and little gambling. By 2010, there were 8 major casinos across the Lower Mainland, and gambling was bringing in $2.5 billion in revenue. Now, Vancouver City Council is voting on whether or not to approve the largest casino in Western Canada. That development would triple the size of the current Edgewater Casino near BC Place. The new casino would have 1,500 slot machines and 150 gaming tables. Sean Bickerton is part of the coalition Vancouver Not Vegas. That coalition wonders if Vancouver has given adequate thought to all of the implications of casino expansion. And Sean has joined me by phone this morning. Hello there.
Hi, Jane. How are you doing?
Pretty good, thanks. Now, what do we know about the company that's proposing to build the casino?
Well, what we do know is they have not been had any involvement in the past in building a casino of this size or type. They've been notably involved in the United States. For instance, in Los Angeles, they were found out to have... they found a descendant of a Native American nation or tribe in that area. There was one woman who was a descendant that they got licensed as her own Native Indian tribe in the States. There's a process for that. And then built a casino around her as her own, again, Native American tribe. And they kind of have specialized in that type of operation throughout the States and then more recently up in Alberta.
One of the arguments that's being made in favor of the casino is it's going to bring in jobs. How do you respond to that?
We're sensitive to the importance of jobs because that obviously they make the economy go. And the existing Edgewater Casino has approximately 600 jobs, and nobody is threatening those or nobody wants to see those end. What we're arguing is that the promise of the additional jobs is exaggerated and somewhat illusory. The entire industry, the entire business model and industry in the United States has proven unsustainable. In America right now, more than half of the casinos are either in bankruptcy or receivership. Just recently, on February 8th, the head of the Nevada Gaming Commission came out and announced that he's expecting more bankruptcies to follow in the months to come. In Las Vegas, the unemployment rate is 14%. And in situations I'm familiar with, I lived 20 years in New York, and the Foxwoods Casino in Connecticut, which was fairly close to Manhattan, that casino went under at the beginning of 2010, end of 2009, for $1.6 billion. And to be honest, what we're more concerned about is the economic impact this size of operation, again, as you mentioned earlier, the largest casino in Western Canada, what economic impact that could have in Vancouver if it went under.
Now, there is the argument that casinos increase tourism. Tourism spends a lot of extra dollars in casinos and then around casinos. Is that a credible argument in your opinion?
The argument that they're making is that this is going to be what they call a destination casino, which they don't have, as I mentioned earlier, they don't have experience building. But in any case, I personally can't see anybody flying to Vancouver to play 25-cent slot machines. And this is going to be 1,500 slot machines over the size of 2 football fields. I don't believe anybody's flying to Vancouver to do that, to play the slot machines. People will go to Vegas, they'll go to Macau, that type of destination.
Let's switch for a moment to look at the social cost of this, the problem gamblers. Are you concerned about that aspect too?
Well, the city staff has estimated that at a minimum, there are 25,000 problem gamblers in the city of Vancouver. And it is our job to speak out on behalf of those people. Casinos, the business model for casinos, it's well documented that they earn 35% of their income from problem gamblers. Even though they make up a small percentage of the population, they make up a huge percentage of the revenue from these casinos.
Now, in Europe, some casinos have been compelled to be very strict in dealing with problem gamblers. They banned them from casinos, and people have to show ID before entering. Have we seen anything like that being proposed here in BC?
Well, there is a program in place in BC for problem gamblers, and they register, and they are supposed to receive counseling and things of that nature, and then they're supposed to recognize them when they enter the casino, intercept them, provide them with some counseling as they come in and urge them, you know, they ban them from the gaming area if they're coming in too often in any week. The difficulty is that this the program exists, but as we've learned on television recently, reports on CBC and Global and other news stations have reported, the program doesn't work because the casinos don't implement it. The problem gamblers walk in with freedom, and they go in repeatedly. And we saw it happen on the news just a few weeks ago on a regular basis.
Now, I understand that some of the revenue that casinos generate is supposed to then go to charities, including charities that help people who have a problem with gambling. Are we seeing this happen?
We used to see that happen. When gambling was first legalized in British Columbia, they did it on the basis that 33% of all of the proceeds would go directly back to local communities, directed specifically to local charities, education, sports, and the arts. And that was the compact, the moral compact, if you will, that the provincial government made with the voters of the province, and in return they agreed to legalize gambling. What's happened since then is that the gambling, as you mentioned in the introduction, has expanded exponentially throughout the province. We now have 8 large casinos in the greater Vancouver area. They're in every community throughout the province. Yet the share of income that has gone to those charities has shrunk, not grown. There's now, I believe it's less than 11%, and I think it's closer to 7% is actually going to any nonprofit groups. But the arts funding has been completely slashed, and so the actual total dollars from 1995 to today is less than going to the arts and charities. And while the dollar volume from gambling has increased, I think something more than fourfold.
Do we have a sense of what level of support there is on City Council for this proposal?
My own belief is that the councillors are really wrestling with this issue, and that they are not eager to see this expansion. Again, our disagreement is only with this massive expansion, the tripling of the size of the existing casino. At the existing size, this casino, Edgewater, in our city, went bankrupt in 2003 for approximately $43 million. And they're now proposing to triple that, and it's that expansion we're against. And I believe that many councillors are asking, deeply principled questions and have real objections as to whether this is the right economic model for the city, whether this is really the right type of activity to place right downtown in the heart of our residential downtown and right next to a family-oriented sports arena. My sense is that if enough people speak to their councillors and let the mayor and council know that this is something they have strong objection to, I believe that the council will do the right thing and vote this proposal down.
So that's one suggestion you have for people if they're opposed to the casino development, write to mayor and council?
Yes, they can write to mayor and council at vancouver.ca. And those emails, we've been told that that is one of the single most important things people can do. They will be counted at the beginning of the public hearing, which starts on March 7, and at City Hall at 7:30, and we would encourage people to come out to that hearing. We have so far 180 speakers signed up to come out from all neighborhoods, all walks of life, all political parties, to come out and address council and explain their concerns about this development, and we would encourage others, if they are able to do that. But at a minimum, if they could write mayor and council at vancouver.ca that and register their opinion, that would be a huge assistance, and the councillors need to hear those voices.
And it sounds like it's going to be a long night if you have that many speakers starting at 7:30.
I think we've got at least five nights of hearings, possibly six, unfortunately for the councillors, but fortunately for the cause.
I've been speaking with Sean Bickerton. Sean is part of the coalition Vancouver Not Vegas. You can find out more about his organization at, and here is the URL, don'tgamblevancouver.wordpress.com. And the public hearing on the casino expansion that Sean mentioned is being held on Monday, March 7th at 7:30 p.m. at Vancouver City Hall. And there are several nights of that public hearing scheduled.